Okay, we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of discussing the areas where kniya should be expressed, and we ended last time with the third. When Chavis Avavis Shah Kniya Perek Dalid, we ended with the third one, which Rav Moshe raised an interesting question. The third area where kniya should be expressed, the Chavis Avavis told us, is when a person is praised. When a person is praised, he should feel inadequate, thinking of all of his faults that the people here don't know about. And he should not get all excited about the fact that everybody here thinks he's so great, because he should be keenly aware of what his shortcomings are. So here, Rav Moshe asked, we said earlier, it basically means that when you hear that you're good, you should think, no, I'm not, because I have all these faults. But at the same time, we said that kniya comes after a person, Dafka, has a true appreciation of his achievements, of his strengths, of his virtues. How does it all come together? So first of all, I just want to note that this is Taka why Anova, kniya, is considered a sophisticated avoida. It's considered a sophisticated avoida. Just for example, I remember when I was a bacher, and I asked Reb Uri Weissblum, he was a mashgiach nachlas alvin. I asked him something about working on Anova. I forgot exactly what the question was. And he said, Anova is not for this stage of life, he told me. Anova is later on, if they have more years under your belt. Anova is not for this stage of life. Because of this, because it can become confused and it can actually drive a person into the ground if it's not done the right way. So let's try to explain how it all comes together. A person having a proper appreciation of himself, understanding his value, understanding his greatness, and yet being an anav. So like we said, we've said, and like we're saying again, anava means that keen awareness of being in Hashem's presence and therefore feeling inadequate. So you have a person, he has his achievements, yet at the same time, he realizes A, he's keenly aware of the fact that this is all a gift from Hashem and therefore he can't feel too great about it. But B, he's aware of his shortcomings also. He's aware of his shortcomings. Now, being aware of the shortcomings, Being aware of the shortcomings does not negate the milus. It's simply about having a correct perspective. Now, I hope it's after the Shmaya to manage to convey this right. Someone once asked me, why do we have to feel this ongoing humility because of our shortcomings? If Hashem created us this way and wants us to be working on them, and that's the whole system, why do I have to be feeling anav about them? You get the question? Now, if we understand that Hashem, we're saying that anava, kniya, true kniya, is being keenly aware of my own inadequacy when I'm standing in the presence of Hashem. Right? Now, if Hashem created me inadequate because he wants to give me the opportunity to work and to progress, what's wrong with being inadequate? Why should I feel so humbled because of that?
It's the natural state.
Are you answering the question, or you're continuing the question?
Right, because he said that's the natural state.
Yeah. Meaning, what is anova? Anova is Hashem. I know how lowly I am relative to you, and therefore I feel humbled in your presence. Right? But Hashem created it this way because that is exactly his purpose for me. So why should it make me feel humble and inadequate? Okay, you get the question? Right? Now the answer, Lamaisa, is that it's again about understanding that it's not about feeling like there's something wrong with me. That's not the issue. It's not that there's something wrong with me. But that itself, the fact that Hashem wants to work with you in your state of inadequacy, that itself is the reason for humility. Meaning you have the guy who, let's say, the big philanthropist takes in a guy off the street, says, you know what? I want to train you into the business until you can actually become a partner with me. He comes in the first day and he doesn't know anything about the business, right? But this guy makes it very, very clear. This millionaire makes it very, very clear. I like you, and therefore, I don't mind that you don't know anything yet. On the contrary, that's why I want to help you out. Because you don't know anything yet, because you have nothing, I want to help you out and train you in and teach you until you become big enough to actually become a partner with me. That doesn't turn us into equals now, right? The fact that there's two different ways that the person could feel. Like this guy is coming in, could either say, uh-oh, it's completely makes no sense that he should be looking at me bichlal because I have nothing to offer him, right? And if he just finds out about that, I'll be out. But no, we're past that because he knows that you have nothing to offer him. He decides he wants you to do with you this chesed. So you don't have to feel apologetic about it, right? You don't have to feel apologetic about it. But you still have to remember the dynamic that he's way up above and you're down on the bottom, right? You don't have to feel apologetic about that. But you do have, but a certain sense of inadequacy, meaning a certain sense of humble submissiveness, you should still be feeling. Because, oh, what do you mean I should be feeling submissive? He said that these are the terms, right? He understands that I have nothing to offer him. He understands that I know nothing about the business. He says he's going to work with me anyway. So that's it. We made it up. Now we're equals. Now we're on equal terms. This was exactly the deal. This was the understanding. No. The deal and the understanding is itself something that obligates you to feel humble and submissive. Not as in apologetic. Not as in there's something wrong with me. On the contrary, he is taking you on these terms. But in terms of, this is really, really great of him to be willing to deal with me in this way, and therefore, I'm going to relate to him with humility. So again, the fact that we're human, that's not something we need to be apologetic about. But we do need to be keenly aware that we're dealing with Hashem. And the very fact that he wants to take us as humans and work with us is something to feel humble about, to feel submissive about. There's a question that came in here, just a minute. The person who asked him to come to learn the business, suddenly felt this person has the ability to learn. Yeah. The question here is, if the person who asked him to come learn the business obviously feels that this person has the ability to learn, right? Feels that he has the ability to learn. That's true. That's what makes the relationship so beautiful. And that's what makes the relationship so beautiful. But it still does not exempt the recipient, the guy who's on the receiving end, from feeling that he still better be with his head lowered before this fellow.
But that only explains the ability clapping
with
the finisher.
Right.
There's a certain humility that exists between people as well. And that doesn't explain it.
So now let's come back to what the Chavis HaVavis was telling us. Chavis HaVavis said that one place that humility has to manifest is when people praise you. When people praise you, on the contrary, that should make you feel very humbled and even mortified, we might say, because you're aware of all your shortcomings. Klapei Hashem. So, how does this work? What's that?
Yeah, a person who has shortcomings, a person who knows everything about himself.
Right.
He's not fooling himself, he knows.
That's right.
So, you see him as the other things. People see him as a study, because that's what they don't see him 24 hours, 7 years.
Oh, so this is where it really comes together. You're right. This is where it really comes together. A person is sitting down, he's being praised for all his virtues, right? He achieved this, and he accomplished that. What is the message that's being conveyed? You are great. Now, this person can say to himself, it's true, I did accomplish that, right? I did learn all of Shas. I did learn Kol HaTorah Kula, right? I did. That's true. And I appreciate the value of that fact. But that doesn't turn me now into something great, because it remains such that toward Hashem, I am still the humble recipient of His goodness, who really needs His kindness and patience in order to just justify my existence. So when I hear my virtues being praised, when we say you have to feel humble because of your faults, it's not to say I have all these faults, it's all not true. What it is to say is that the maskana, oh, I'm so great because I have all these virtues, that's not true, because you want to come back to the picture of, no, you're not so great. You're a humble recipient of a lot of Hashem's chesed with all of your achievements. You've achieved a lot, and that's great. You've gotten very far in your relationship with Hashem, and that's great. But to just therefore come and say that my package begins and ends with me being great, that is moving out of the picture all the areas of inadequacy that I still do need to be conscious of when I'm dealing with Hashem. So if Hashem is here now, and He's hearing how great I am, and I get a smug grin on my face, that should be a little embarrassing considering that Hashem was like, if Hashem wasn't here, so Mela, right? These people are reaching the conclusion that I'm great. But since wherever you are, you're with Hashem, and Hashem is hearing them say, this person is great. And you're thinking to yourself, well, it's true that I helped Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. It's true that I learned all of Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, all of Shulchan Aruch, and you know, Tosefta, Sifri, Sifra. But I'm still quite aware of all the areas that I still need to be working toward in my relationship with Hashem. And therefore, between me and Hashem, my feeling is kind of like, Hashem, I feel very awkward about the things that they're saying, because you, Hashem, and I know that I still have a way to go. So I don't know if we've made this clear enough or not, but the idea being that you don't want to be in a place where if people are noting your virtues, you are pleased with the fact that they think you're great. I've accomplished these things, yes. I'm moving ahead in my relationship with Hashem. In terms of Hashem's expectations with me, yes. Do I have the confidence that I can continue to do it because Hashem is helping me and because He is dealing with me patiently? Yes. But I still don't have the right to tell Hashem, hey, Hashem, I'm so great. Hashem said, wait. You're so great? Wait. Remember the fact that you are inadequate, but I am dealing with you with that patience and love. That doesn't turn you great, you know, in terms of from beginning to end. So really what it's about is, it's not saying, no, those virtues are not true. What it is about is remembering the true picture. The true picture is that I am being dealt with by Hashem like an ani who needs His help, right? And therefore, I don't feel comfortable hearing that I am just essentially great. Now, if they'll tell me, you are great, speak about me at a dinner, I'm being honored at a dinner, and they're going to say, this person is so great. You know why he's so great? Because he has a neshama, a real neshama. And he is a child of Hashem. And that makes him so, so, so special. You can think to yourself, yeah, you can be pleased and think it's true. That does make me special. Exactly. That's exactly the point. If you feel that you're great because you're a Jew, if you feel that you're great because you're part of the Am HaNivchar, because you're one of Hashem's beloved children, feel that. You should definitely be feeling that gaiva, and therefore relating to the Jew next to you with awe and reverence. You should feel that you are something very great, and the people around you are too. But here we're talking about a person who's being praised because you are head and shoulders above the rest, right? You are great relative to all the rest of us. Here's where that sense of inadequacy should kick in. So the question is a tough question. It really brings out the challenge of the Avodah Vanova, which, like I said before, that's why it's considered from the higher levels a person should not jump to work on it so fast. It's a sophisticated Avodah, and I hope we've somewhat addressed it. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Good Shabbos.